Very good evening again. Today's passage is actually taken from Luke 17, chapter 17, verse 11 to 19. Luke 17, chapter 17, verse 11 to 19. Let's just, shall we just stand up and read it out together? Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 19. Let's all read together. Ready? And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered into a certain village, there met him six lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, shew yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, saying, Were they not cleansed? But where are the nine? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that this evening we can come to you and study this passage. And what lessons you have, wonderful lessons you have for us, learning from the faith of this Samaritan leper that came back and worshipped you. Lord, help. Hide thy servant behind thy cross, and even as we learn from you and learn what you lessons you have for us, help me as a servant to preach whatever message that you want me to say. Commit this time to you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So title for tonight's message is, But Where Are the Nine? Where are the nine? This should be a very familiar passage that perhaps many of us have heard before. But I believe there are many, many lessons that we can learn from this miracle. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. It's likely that our Lord is now setting off from Capernaum, and he was going through this certain village in Galilee. And he passed through this small country of Samaria, preaching and also teaching everywhere as he goes. And he was curing the diseased people as usual. During this time, probably all the sicknesses, the disease are all banished from Israel. So there's a lot of happiness. But Jesus is actually in the final months of his life before he goes to the cross. That's why he's on the way to Jerusalem. And if you remember way back before this, Jesus also healed another leper, and this is the second recorded healing of the leper. The first instance, there's one leper who got healed. But he was asked by Jesus not to tell anyone. But of course, this leper disobeyed. So probably word got around, and his reputation got around. They say this leper just spread the news. And I'm sure that somehow or other, these 10 lepers got to know the news. Hey, that it was a leper who was being healed. But this time round, there were 10 lepers who got healed simultaneously, all at once. And this is a Leprosy, as what I know, is a very horrible disease. And they stood afar off. In verse 12, they stood far off. Why? Because according to Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, lepers were required to avoid communication with others because their disease is contagious, it can be passed on, and they're unclean. And it's not lawful to them to come near those who are healthy. So as Jesus was traveling there, they knew Jesus is coming, and they want to go and see him. So before even Jesus can even rest or stop by, and even they went, indeed, and they cried. I did a little bit of research on leprosy. So, leprosy is caused by this bacteria, and the result of leprosy is that we're going to have this scaly white skin. We're going to be damaged. Our skin will be damaged. Our nerves, our limbs and eyes, our tissues will start losing, and then that will cause our fingers and toes to be shortened and also deformed. As I was watching those pictures about leprosy, it is really quite horrible, and I don't think I want to show any pictures at all, because it is a very horrible disease. And during those times, right, there is no non-cure for leprosy. So, if you're a leper, there's nothing much you can do. You are being cut off from society. And one interesting thing that I know of is that when you have leprosy, your voice will become hoarse, or even like, you can't even like talk in a normal way. So that's one point that I will come back to that later on. Your voice will be like crispy or can't even like talk. You will be weak because of the bacteria. So if a person is being discovered to have leprosy, your brain will be removed from all social contact. And that means you're from your family, your friends, you are not able to work because your colleagues or co-workers will say, hey, you're unclean. And the only people that you can associate with is other people who also have leprosy. That's why in Leviticus 13 and 14, they have set up this thing called leprosy camps. And I discovered there are still leprosy camps in the world today, where they actually will be in villages, as I saw those pictures on the internet. They say, wow, still are people who are being forced to stay there. And not only that, they smell also because of their condition. Basically, you become an alien from. You're an alien, and you are being left alone. You can't even fend for yourself. And interesting thing is, they all, in verse 14, I'll just read it. And verse 13, sorry. And they lift up their voices and say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And they lift up their voices. So imagine the difficulty they have. They already have hoarse voice, they are weak, but they all come together and lift up their voice. Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. Obviously, it takes a lot of effort for them to really cry out and pray. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And the word Jesus, Master, we can see that it's actually evident that they actually possess some measure of faith. Not only that, they implore Christ's assistance for help. And they honor him with the title of Master, so that it's not in out of their desperation, and they sincerely asked God for help. They knew that Jesus is able to heal. As I mentioned before, maybe word goes around, okay, the first leper was being healed, but he disobeyed Christ and said he went around telling people, hey, I'm being healed. Of course, Jesus not only healed the lepers, he also performed many other miracles along the way. And the first, I got some commentators even say Jesus Master, or it can even mean Rabbi Jesus, thou great master in Israel, who art a teacher come from God. Some of the commentators will even say that it's probably they know that Jesus is already someone who's very special. Have mercy. So the point there is that they all possess the same faith. The faith is that all the 10, they knew that Jesus is able to heal them. And the point number one is that the lepers had faith in Jesus. The lepers had faith in Jesus. They knew that Jesus is able to help them. And they all cried with a, they all lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, have mercy on us. And they all, the second point is, I want to bring is that they pray to Jesus to save them. They pray to Jesus to save them. All of them pray the same prayer. And going on to verse 14, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. In this, why did Jesus do this? Perhaps he wants them to demonstrate their faith into action. They say, okay, you want to be healed? Go show yourself unto the priest. Maybe they're just thinking, why bother? Why do that? You're able to heal us instantly on the spot. But they obey. They obey whatever Christ has commanded them. They obey and do what Christ commanded them to do. They say, oh, I'll just go and show ourselves to the priest. And it's not unreasonable, because the priest back then was like the health inspector or the doctor is checked whether are you safe? Are you clean? Are you already healed from your leprosy? And this is actually back in going back to the, they are complying with the ceremonial law, which actually required the leper to be brought to the priest so they can judge whether they are healed or not and to receive any offering or thanks. It's also perhaps, I think, it's like a trial of the obedience, whether they say, okay, we should go and do whatever Jesus Christ asks us to do. And going to verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Probably, I would think, probably is that this leper was walking on his way, and probably he was the one who noticed that he was being healed along the way. And he just looked at him. Yeah, as he walked past people, according to the Jews, is that if you see a leper, You must stand far away, probably about 50 yards. And they have to shout, unclean, unclean, to warn other people. See? As you're walking, maybe going to the priest, he was wondering how come nobody shouted at them. Nobody asked them to shout unclean, unclean as before. And he said, and he looked, hey, I'm being healed. As he was turning, probably, you see, the scaly skin will start dropping out. I don't know how, but it was a miracle. And he just walked. And it says here, and in verse 15, as one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell on his face at his feet, at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Interesting thing is here, Luke recorded for us, of all things, he have to record that he is a Samaritan. He is a Samaritan. The Jews and the Samaritans are actually hated each other. They are enemies. Why? Because the Samaritans, they are what? They consider half Jews. They are impure. They defile their race by marrying Gentiles. While the Jews have one place to worship, the Samaritans went to another place to worship God. But this Samaritan, he knew that Jesus is God, because back then, in the Old Testament, only God can heal people with leprosy. I can think of two instances, Naaman and also Miriam. So I can imagine that he was thinking to himself, who else can heal me of leprosy? It must be God. Jesus is God. He was probably just trying to process what actually happened through this miracle as you're walking. And he turned back and he worship God. And Jesus, in verse 17, he says that Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Were there not 10 cleansed? There's no answer. But where are the 9? Where are the 9? Again, there's no answer. They're probably on the way to see the priest. They're probably thinking to each other, let's go to the temple and check ourselves where we are healed to really ascertain, even though I am sure that they are already healed. Okay. All of them got their healing. And verse 18, they are not found that return to give glory to God. Save this stranger. And you can see that all of them, probably, I would think that in this case, there could be Jews and Samaritans, lepers, banding together. Because remember, even though they hated each other, they have to be together because they are social outcasts. They cannot be together. They cannot go back to the family, go back to the friends, go to anywhere, but they have to band together, probably for practical reasons, and also to comfort each other. And I even read that because of the disease of leprosy, they will need each other to help scrub their skin, to take away the itch. So, it's very interesting that save this stranger. And this is a Samaritan. And what we have in verse 19 is, I think, is really the saving grace. It's shocking because only one came back. where the rest could be Jews or they could be Samaritans, where they didn't recognize this is actually God's work. And he said unto him, Jesus said unto him, arise, go thy way, go to the priest, get your certificate, get your health bill checked, to check that you are really clean. Thy faith, this faith, because you recognize that this is Jesus, is of a different faith, your faith in God have made thee whole, has saved you, in actual fact, rather, have saved you. Thy faith has saved you. So in gratitude, this is the only one Samaritan out of thanksgiving, in gratitude, one out of the nine returned to worship God because he recognized who Jesus is. And in return, I would say, this is rather the miracle. The second miracle is that he was saved. Yes, physically, all of them, the ten, were actually healed of leprosy. But only one got more than just physical healing. He was saved. And I believe that he became a believer in Jesus Christ. And he's probably like wondering, checking on what Jesus is doing, and probably following the news in Jerusalem. This actually brought us back to the, what's the point? Is that, but where are the nine? Where are the nine? I would think that in today's context, probably that is really the general attitude that most people have. Or even in some other evangelical church or bigger mega churches, where actually many people, they wanted God's blessing, God's healing, God's miracle, and whatever that God's give them, able to give them, like God, even like Pastor Johnny sometimes once mentioned that that this guy who go to church to get a blessing, a special type of blessing, business deals. Last time when I was in another church, he's there because he just wanted to, his wife is there. He just wanted to have the blessing that he doesn't agitate the wife. But that is really the, is that what they really, want? Because in this case, these 10 lepers, they had the physical healing, just like we also have our physical blessing. But there's one thing that this Samaritan, this stranger, this foreigner, that he went back and out of gratitude, he worshipped God. And he's the one who recognized that not just he got the physical healing, he got whatever blessing that God gave him, but he turned back and out of gratitude, he recognized Jesus and have the saving grace. And through that, he received eternal salvation, eternal life, and he was saved, just like many Christians here are. So my point is, I think today, is that hopefully this passage will actually spur us to say, for those who are still just looking for just pure earthly blessing, physical blessing, to consider what God can really offer if you truly worship Him. Because not many people actually wanted to worship God as who he is. They just wanted the physical blessing. They just want to go on with their life and say, I thank God for my health, thank God for my family, thank God for my job, thank God for my career, thank God for my house, thank God for my car. But I just want my life. I do not want to do anything with you. But they are missing out the bigger point is that what God is able to give them, that is your eternal life and salvation, also being saved from the eternal hell. So the main point today is that I just want to say is that many people are contented with what they can get out of God, but very few wanted to worship him. For those who embrace him as our Lord and Savior, Jesus will actually transform our heart and mind and soul and save us from our sin and eternal hell, regardless of our background. In this case, is this Samaritan? God doesn't look at who we are, our background, or it could be a foreigner, a Samaritan. But God, regardless of who we are, he welcomes us if we come to him and truly worship him. I'm just thinking of this matter, because in heaven there's no quota on foreigners. I just suddenly thought of this. You can be any race, Gentiles. Don't say, hey, this part maybe 10% foreign quota only. Sorry. So hopefully I hope that this passage will actually pray that those who are still sitting on the fence really come to know about Jesus, because there's only God who's able to heal us from our sin. Because I can draw a parallel between leprosy and even our sin, is that we are being cut off from God. We have nowhere. We are being left on our own. Just like leprosy. We don't know it. Oh, by the way, this bacteria is different from other sicknesses, where the other disease actually will cause a lot of pain. But this bacteria, bacillus, will anesthetize you. That's why you can't feel. There's even instance of this story about this boy who have incredible strength, but he was malnourished. He can open things up. But after a while, the doctor examined him. How come he's so strong? Stronger than me. And he just say, oh, checking his hand, he say, he's bleeding all over. The mere simple task of opening something, a door, a metal container, the metal still cut through his hand. And there was blood. The boy couldn't feel anything. So I just thought that this is like our sin. We don't realize that we are in sin. But thank God for saving us, for his wonderful grace and his mercy for saving us. Question is, are we just looking for the physical healing? But we forgot about what God can really, really do on a more permanent basis. Saving us from our sin, from eternal hell. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this simple message, for the lessons that we can learn. Lord, we thank you. We have faith in you. We obey you and do what you ask us to do. But Lord, we pray that you help us to come back to you and worship you as who you really are, not just for the temporal earthly blessing we can get from you, but more than that, that we have a home in heaven with you. Lord, we pray that for those who are still doesn't know you, or still sitting on the fence, Lord, I pray that they'll turn back and come to you. For those who are still, who don't know you, Lord, pray that this message will minister to them, or speak to our hearts, speak to their hearts, even though we may be Christians, Lord, we may come to church, but we still can able to go to, still be not safe. But we pray that Lord, you transform our hearts and help us to see who you are, Jesus, because you are God. And commit tonight in the hands and pray all this in Jesus' name.